months, if not years later, but God is faithful. Through God's leading and provision, working and operating through His faithful saints, we have been able to safely travel approximately 110,000 miles to 23 states and present in 156 churches. Thank you so much for all of your sacrificial help and support. My family and I can't thank you enough. I would also like to offer up my great appreciation to all the pastors that have allowed us into their churches to sing, teach, preach, and present our plans for Germany. So many of you have sacrificed your life's ambitions, your health, and family time to serve in a position that isn't always understood or even welcomed. Thank you for all of the ancillary work that you do that most never see. Thank you also for answering all the phone calls, responding to emails and text messages, and everything involved with trying to set up a meeting. I would also like to thank all the pastors that have graciously taken the time to pass on to me their counsel and instruction. Thank you greatly for all that you do in the body of Christ. Iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend, Proverbs 27:17. With the ever-changing world that we are living in, Germany has remained steadfast in their entry restrictions with no signs of letting up. While I am writing this letter, I have been in contact with the pastor in Germany about a new option for getting over to Germany, Lord willing, by the end of this month. Hopefully, I will get some answers to this option within the next few weeks. Again, the Lord has shown himself more than faithful over the years, and I have no doubt that he will get us over in his own way and in his own timing. Until then, we are working on the needed repairs to our truck and the fifth wheel trailer in preparation to sell them, cleaning out our storage unit to get things ready to ship overseas, and getting our kids situated before we leave. The opportunity to fellowship and serve with our home church has also been a blessing as we work towards Germany. Thank you again to everyone for our very first, from our very first meeting to our very last, for all your help and support, and for making our deputation experience something that will be cherished for years to come. Thank you also for the love that you have shown to my wife and daughters as we spent time with you and afterwards. It is greatly appreciated. I am very much looking forward to, Lord willing, reporting from Germany in our next prayer letter, looking for that blessed hope, the Biermans. He's got five things down for prayer: wisdom and guidance, safety, entry restrictions, transitioning to Germany, and language study. So pray for the Biermans as they're getting ready to head off to Germany. All right, let's get into the scriptures tonight. John 20 again. You look so funny sitting up so close. Even the Benellas are up closer than normal. But I like it. I like it. I like to see your faces up close. John 20 again. This is a different message than this morning. This is something that I just want to bring out about Mary Magdalene. Tonight's message will be primarily right on her. Again, as I said this morning, I'm going to repeat a couple things just because of the passage that we read this morning. I'm not going to read the entire passage. I'm only going to read from I have four different things here written down in my Bible that I want to cover tonight. But she was the first one that Jesus appeared to after his resurrection. Many have asked the question or have thought about this question: why not his mother, Mary, and Mary Magdalene? That's a good question. How come he didn't appear to his mother first? Well, she could have been there, or he could have gone to her. I think that he didn't want to put so much attention on his mother, as so much attention is still on her today, that he appeared to somebody other than his mother. And that's why he went to Mary Magdalene. He just didn't want people to think that his mother is to be higher than everybody else. That's my own personal thought. Look at Proverbs before we get into the message. Proverbs chapter 8, verse 17. Proverbs 8:17. If you study the New Testament, you'll see that Jesus never exalted his mother over anybody else. That's just what Jesus did, because he probably knew that it could become a issue later on. Proverbs 8 and verse 17. It says, I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. Back to our text in John 20. I'm just going to read the first verse, and then we'll get into this. John 20, verse 1. The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulchre, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. Father, bless the message tonight. Use it for your honor and for your glory. We thank you, Lord, again for your resurrection. Thank you, Lord, for the great power that we see in you being God, that you could raise yourself from the dead. We thank you for that. We thank you, Lord, again for your death, the blood that you shed for us, to give us hope of eternal life and to give us salvation. What a blessing today to be saved, to be part of the greatest family in the universe. Thank you, Lord, for the promises that we have in your word. We are a blessed people tonight, and thank you for it. Lord, we love you, and we appreciate everything that you have done for us and are doing for us right now. And Lord, we are looking forward to one of these days soon, seeing you in glory. Lord, just bless the time that we have tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. And so it says there that she was there very early in the morning of the first day of the week. Matter of fact, she came and she was there to anoint the body of Jesus. She wasn't really there to experience or see him rise from the dead. But we know that she was there, and we know that Jesus first appeared to her. The Bible says, go over to Luke chapter 8, the Bible says that she had seven devils. Seven devils. It's interesting that the Bible makes that statement about her. In Luke chapter 8, verses 1 through 3, Luke 8, 1 through 3, and it came to pass afterward that he went throughout every city and village, preaching and showing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God, and the 12 were with him. And certain women, which had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene, out of whom went seven devils, and Joanna, the wife of Cusa, Herod's steward, and Susanna, and many others, which ministered unto him of their substance. And so the Bible says there, apparently she had some infirmity. An infirmity is some physical problem that she had. And so often we don't think about the physical problem that maybe Mary had, but we think about the seven devils that Jesus cast out of her. So she had, not only did she have a spiritual problem, she had a physical problem also. You see that in that passage? So she had both of those. She was healed physically as well as spiritually with the casting out of those seven devils. You might say, well, what were those seven devils? Well, we don't know what the seven devils represented. We don't know what kind of a person Mary was. I said that this morning. Some people have assumed or thought about maybe what she was or what she did or her past, but we can't assume those things. Let me just share something with you as a thought. Look at Matthew chapter 15. Matthew 15 and verse 19. Matthew 15, verse 19. We would point the finger maybe at Mary Magdalene. We might say that, you know, how sinful she was and to have seven devils cast out. Well, that word, or that number seven, has something to do with the Bible, obviously. Look at Matthew chapter 15 and verse 19. 15:19, the Bible says, for out of the heart proceed evil thoughts. Number these and count these as I go through them. Out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. How many? Seven. Isn't that interesting? There's seven sinful things mentioned in that verse. These are the things which defile a man, but to eat with unwashed hands defileth not a man. So these seven things, Jesus said, is in mankind. Seven devils were cast out of Mary Magdalene. I think maybe they were very similar to that. I do. When I got saved, I had those things cast out of my life. When you got saved, those things were taken out of your life, hopefully. Right? I mean, think about it. When you get saved, you get a new heart. Out of the heart proceed these seven things. Jesus listed seven of them. So don't get too harsh on Mary Magdalene, you should be as harsh on yourself as you would on anybody else. The problem that we have is we like to judge people. We think people are worse than we are. And that's natural for us to do that. Let me show you something else. Look at Proverbs chapter 6. Go Old Testament Proverbs chapter 6. You know what I'm going to say. Proverbs chapter 6, verses 16 through 19. Proverbs 6, 16 through 19. Oh, yeah. Proverbs 6, 16. These six things doth the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination unto him. A proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, and heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among brethren. How many of those are there? Seven. Now look at Proverbs 26 in verse 25. 26, verse 25. 26, 25 says, when he speaketh fair, believe him not, for there are seven abominations in his heart. Seven abominations in his heart. Mary Magdalene had seven devils cast out of her heart. So don't be so quick to judge her life when every human being that I know of probably has had these seven things in their own life. Not just the seven that we see in Proverbs, but the seven we also see in the book of Matthew and that Jesus mentions in Matthew chapter 15 and verse 19. She was with Jesus Christ during his life. She was with Jesus Christ at the cross, and she was there for his resurrection. That tells you that she was a changed woman, that Jesus changed her life by casting those seven demons out, or devils. I don't like to use the term demon. That's not a King James word that we use. Devils out, and she became a different person. She was no longer the same person that she was. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Mary Magdalene was not only healed physically, but she was healed spiritually. She had some kind of a physical infirmity, according to Luke, that she was healed from. But she was there during his life, his death, and his resurrection. Tells you a lot about somebody after they get saved, that they are willing to be with Jesus that much. And that's what we need. We need to want to be with Jesus Christ as much as possible. The first thing that I see back in our text, let's go back there and I'll give you this outline quick. Four things about Mary Magdalene here in John chapter 20. And the first one is, in verse 1, Mary was committed. Committed. Write that word down. She was committed. The Bible says there, the first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulcher, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulcher. So often we just read that and we don't realize how early that was. I mean, this was early, early. I mean, it was still dark. She is up, going to the sepulcher, being there to be the committed woman that she was in order to tend to Jesus Christ. Now, I don't think she thought that Jesus was going to rise from the dead. Remember, nobody really realized that. Nobody thought about it. The disciples weren't there waiting for Jesus to come out of the tomb. She went there in order to anoint the body, the dead body of Jesus. But the dead body of Jesus wasn't there. And again, her life was completely changed. But the first day of the week, she was there at the tomb. First one there. She was there very, very early. You know what the Bible says about rising early and meeting with God? Let me give you some scripture on that. Job chapter 1 and verse 5. Job chapter 1 and verse 5. Now, some of you are not morning people, are you? Some of you don't like to get up very early. But I'll tell you, the majority of godly people got up early in the Bible and met with God. In Job chapter 1 and verse 5, look what it says. And it was so, in the days of their feasting were gone about, that Job sent and sacrificed them and rose up early in the morning and offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all. And Job said, it may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. Thus did Job what? Continually. Job was an early riser. And what he did is he got up early in the morning and spent time with God, praying for his children, sacrificing for his children. And it was something that he rose up early in the morning and did every single day. The Bible says he did it continually. That tells me he did it every day. That's why rising early in the morning and getting alone with God is so important. Look at the book of Psalm 63. Psalm 63. Again, these are some lessons we can learn from Mary Magdalene. She was there at the tomb very early in the morning. Psalm 63, look at verse 1. Psalm 63, 1. O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. Early. Early, it says. Early will I seek thee. Again, some of you are not early risers. Some of you are not morning people. Some of you don't like to get up early. Or what you like to do is you like to play with the alarm clock for a while. I even do that once in a while. Alarm goes off. Tomorrow morning it'll go off early. I've had my alarm shut off all this past week. What a blessing. With no school, no school kids showing up at 7:30 in the morning. And what a blessing it's been. Oh, those days are over. For a short week. For me, anyway. But I've had my alarm shut off. Now, tomorrow morning, it'll go off at 5:45. And I'll hit it once. It'll go off again, and I'll probably hit it again. Sometimes I hit it a third time. Fourth. Have you been there and done that? But I try to get up as early as I can so I can get out here and spend time reading and praying before those kids get here. Because once those kids arrive, you ain't going to do any reading. You ain't going to do any praying. Well, you might do some praying walking down the hall. I do a lot of that. But you're certainly not going to be able to concentrate on the Word of God. So you got to get up early and you got to do some things. Look at Psalm 90 in verse 14. 90:14. O satisfy us early with thy mercy, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Satisfy us early with thy mercy. You know, the Bible tells us in Lamentations that every morning his mercies are new. When in the morning do you get the new mercies? I think you get it early. I think God's mercies show up early in the morning. And I think we can really enjoy the mercies of God early. Look at Psalm 108. Psalm 108. The Bible has quite a bit to say about getting up early and spending time with the Lord. That's the quiet time of the day for the most part. If you got kids or grandkids running around, you know exactly. You got to figure out, ladies, you got to get up before they get up. And that might be 4 in the morning or 5. I don't know. But sometimes kids can get up really early. Look at Psalm 108, verse 2. Awake, psaltery, and harp. I myself will awake what? Early. Early. And then one more on this. Proverbs chapter 8, verse 17. Proverbs 8, 17. I already read that, but we're going to read it one more time. 8, 17. Proverbs 8:17, it says, I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. Now, we know the context is dealing with wisdom, right? When you read the book of Proverbs, you'll realize, you might think, and it can be, you could say that you're seeking God, but the context is all about wisdom. And I think what the Bible is trying to say, or what God is trying to say to us, is when we get up early, and we seek the Lord early, He's going to give us the wisdom that we need in order to attack our day, in order for us to do the things that we need to do through the day. You all need, I need, we all need wisdom to go through our days, every one of us. You might have your whole day planned, but you still need God's wisdom in order to get through that day. And you get that wisdom in the morning when you pray and you ask God to give you the wisdom that you need, and you read His Word, and God speaks to you through the Word of God. That's when we get the wisdom that we need in order for us to get through our days. All right, go back to John 20. The second thing we'll look at, Mary Magdalene. She was there early in the morning, and so that's a lesson we can learn from her. Number two is she was concerned. Look at verse 2. Number one, she was committed. That was that early morning when she got there. Number two, she was concerned. Verse 2, then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved, and saith unto them, they have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid Him. You can see that she was concerned about where Jesus was. She was concerned about her Lord, her Savior. She was concerned about that. At this point, I don't think she still really knew about the resurrection. All she knew is He's not in the tomb where they laid Him. And the question is where is He? Did somebody come along and steal Him away? Somebody come along and take Him out of here? She wanted to know, where is Jesus? She was concerned about that. And that's part of her seeking the Lord. It's part of her wanting to see her Savior, even in a dead situation with Him. She still was there anticipating to see His body and to be a blessing to Him. And so she was concerned. She was concerned for the Lord. And again, she was there first. First to arrive. I believe it's because she loved Him so that she wanted to anoint His body and tend to Him because of her love for her Lord. Now, we don't serve a dead God. Our Lord is not dead. We don't have to worry about anointing His body or coming to a dead body at all, because now we serve a living Lord, a living Savior. And that living Savior is who we communicate with. That living Savior is the one that we talk to in the morning, and He talks to us through His Word. Remember, He is called the Word. So when you read this book, you are literally listening to the words of Jesus Himself when you read the Word of God. We also are to love the Lord God with all of our hearts, all of our souls. You know the verses, but let's look at Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33. Matthew 6, 33. Matthew 6, 33. Many of you know it. You have it memorized. I'll never forget, this was Lauren Dawson's life verse. He shared that with us many times when he was here many, many years ago. You know, like I said this last week of the week. There's people that I miss that have died. I miss my father and I miss my mother. I miss Lauren Dawson. If you never met him, if you met him, you miss him. Let me put it that way. If you've ever known him, when he used to come here every year, he was somebody that when he passed away, he's missed dearly by me and by many in the church that knew him. I miss Harold Boyd. I miss Don Perkins. No, most of you have no clue who Don Perkins. He's the one that started Temple Baptist in Baldwinsville. And he was just a dear, dear man, dear pastor. And but there's men, there's people, there's preachers that I miss that have gone on before me. I'm looking forward to seeing them again. That's the hope that we have. But there's just some people that I miss. Anyway, that's another sermon. Matthew 6:33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Seeking God, seeking the Lord, seeking the kingdom of God, seeking His righteousness. In all these things, the things previous to that verse 33 that Jesus was talking about, will be added unto you. You'll be taken care of when you seek God and you seek the kingdom of God. Mark chapter 12 and verse 30. Mark chapter 12, verse 30. Again, Mary was very concerned about where was the Lord. She was missing the Lord. She wanted to know where He was. Mark chapter 12 and verse 30, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 18. Colossians 1:18. Colossians chapter 1, verse 18. He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning of the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. That means first place. The question tonight is, does Jesus have first place in your life? I think Jesus had first place in Mary Magdalene's life. She was there early. She was concerned. And she wanted to know where he was. She was about ready to meet him. As soon as she turns around, she's going to meet the Lord that morning very early there. But again, we see, go back to our text, we'll look at the third thing. She was committed, she was concerned. Number 3, verses 11 through 15, she was compassionate. John 20 and verse 11. But Mary stood without at the sepulcher weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulcher and see two angels in white sitting, the one at the head, the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. And they say unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? She saith unto them, Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. And when she had said, thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing and knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, Sir, if thou have borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. Can you sense the compassion in this woman? All she wanted was to be in the presence of her Lord and Savior, but he was dead. Well, she thought he wasn't, but she thought he was dead. All she wanted was, show me where the body is. I just want to be around this dead body. Jesus is about ready to tell her, hey, it's me, I'm not dead anymore. But you can sense the compassion this woman has. She's weeping for the Lord's presence again. I'll tell you, that can bring some revival to to people, to a church, when we are weeping again. Weeping over sin, weeping over the resurrection of Christ, weeping over the things that we read about in the Scriptures, and just having that true humility. She was weeping for the Lord's presence again. She cared about his body. She cared about his person. She cared about everything about him. And that's what we need today, some Christians that really care about the Lord. Care less about themselves, less about ourselves, and more about the Lord. We seem today we care more about ourselves than we do the Lord. Sometimes we care more about ourselves than we do other people. That's sad. She was committed. She was concerned. She was compassionate. Number 4, in verse 18. Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that he had spoken these things unto her. Number 4 is she was consecrated. Consecrated. She now believes the resurrection is real. She now knows Jesus is alive and well. She just met him. She just had a conversation with him. He just told her to go and tell the disciples, and we're going to meet up with them, he says. But he tells her to go and talk to them. And she goes and she came and she tells the disciples that she had seen the Lord. She was witnessing the fact that Jesus was alive. This brought her consecration to serve the Lord and to go and tell others about what she just witnessed. She is telling the disciples about the resurrected Lord. She is conveying the Word of God to them. It's almost like she's preaching the sermon to the guys and they didn't believe what she was saying. Jesus had to appear to them that evening to make it clear that he was alive and well. But she had already delivered the message to them. That shows her willingness to serve the Lord. She was consecrated to deliver the message that the Lord told her to deliver. we are to deliver the same message to a lost and dying world. Jesus said, go ye into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. Yes, he was saying it to the disciples, but he's given it to everybody, all of us. We are to deliver the message of the gospel to as many people as we possibly can by witnessing, testifying, passing out gospel tracts, inviting people to church. We invited several people to church this week. None of them that we invited came. None of them. But we still had a good turnout this morning. And we had other people that we didn't invite come. God works that way. So we need to have that same consecration that Mary Magdalene had, whom Jesus cast out seven devils. She's a changed woman. She's a different person. Thank God for that. But so are you and I. I think we've had seven devils and devils cast out of us too. I read seven different sins and different passages of scriptures. We're different also. We need to be more committed. We need to be more concerned. We need to be more compassionate. And we need to be more consecrated in serving God. That is what we need. We can look at Mary's life and say, I would like to be a little like her. I would like to have my life as committed and concerned and compassionate and consecrated as Mary Magdalene, who Jesus cast out seven devils. Don't let what is said about her negate the fact that she became a great servant of God. She did. She was a great servant of the Lord. You ladies could do well by using Mary as a good example to your own life. I'll be careful the way I say this, but us guys could also look at her and say, well, let me be more committed like Mary. Let me be more compassionate like Mary was. Let me be more concerned like Mary was. Let me have that same love to the Lord Jesus Christ that Mary had. Mary Magdalene, somebody you don't hear a whole lot about. The Hollywood has made her look horrible. Hollywood has made Jesus look horrible. Hollywood has determined or thought that Jesus and Mary had a relationship. Mary Magdalene, so untrue, so unbiblical, so blasphemous that Hollywood would do such a thing. Jesus is God. Mary got saved. And she was a different woman. And we need to thank God for the way that he can take somebody and change them into somebody that's just talking about Jesus Christ and giving out the gospel message. Let's pray. Father, thank you again for the story of Mary. We thank you, Lord, for her great example after she got saved. And Lord, I don't know what physical infirmity she had, but Lord, she just became a tremendous servant of yours. And we thank you, Lord, for that. On that very early morning that you rose from the dead, you talked with her. You appeared to her. And Lord, we thank you for that. Lord, again, thank you for your resurrection. Help us this week to be good witnesses and good testimonies for you. Help us to give out gospel tracts. Help us to invite others to church. Help us, Lord, to be that testimony that people need to hear. Lord, help us to be the Bible. We may be the Bible that somebody will see this week. They may not see you, Lord, in any other person other than us. So, Lord, help us this week to be that testimony for you. Again, we praise you and thank you for your goodness and mercy. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand. We'll have a brief invitation. If you need to come for something tonight, you can come.